When people are all focused on money, the reason why they don't have money is because they don't manage your time correctly. And the reason why they don't manage your time correctly is because they don't manage your energy correctly. So if you manage your energy correctly, you'll manage your time correctly. If you manage your time correctly, you will get money. And so when people are focused on money, they don't realize that start with the energy. And so I treat myself like a professional athlete. I put the type of energy into my workouts and energy into, you know, my personal health the same as a professional athlete would, because I need to have the highest, purest, highest vibrational energy I can possibly bring to the table for the work that I do. And when I do that, the money follows.
So the question is this: how do thought leaders, school dropouts, former and current students find out what's next after they do or don't cross that stage? If you want to know the secrets to starting the career or business of your dreams, getting paid whatever you desire, and discovering what you do the best with the least amount of effort, then this is the right podcast for you. I'm Sean Anthony, and this is School's Over, Now What? The podcast. All right, let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Sean Anthony. Listen, fam, you could be anywhere right now, and you know there's millions of podcasts out there, but in the words of my guy Jay-Z, you're here with me, and I appreciate that. But let me tell you exactly what the show is all about, so you know, each and every single week, we continue to bring you an inspiring person or a message that's truly going to help you. I don't care if you're in a job that you hate, like you're working a career, and you're like, you know what, I want to climb the ladder. Or perhaps you're saying to yourself right now, I want to become an entrepreneur, or perhaps level up in my business. Then this is the podcast for you. We're here each and every single week, and you guys know how I like to kick this thing off, right? And that is with the review of the week. This week's review of the week comes from Al Rehabs, and they wrote, "I've enjoyed listening to several episodes of this podcast. Sean does an excellent job of asking the right questions to have guests provide insightful answers and useful information, informative." Listen, Al Rehabs, I appreciate you for taking the time and leaving, you know, such a great review. And perhaps you're listening to this right now and you've had a moment, right, where you listen to this show, let's keep it 100, you've listened to this show and you're like, yo, all right, that really moved me. That really changed my business. That changed my thought process. And if that is the case, the only thing we ask is right now, if you're listening to this on Apple, scroll to the bottom of your screen, click that 5-star rating, and leave your review. It has helped us do tremendous things. With that being said, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Hey, what's up, fam? You know, building a podcast has been one of the most amazing things I've ever done. It's put me in rooms I could not even believe. But here's the crazy thing. It could be one of the easiest things for you to do. And right now, I want you to have access and learning how you can have your message spread and reach multiple people across the globe. For right now, you can download my free ebook, The Podcast Starter Kit, giving you all the tools you need to start, plan, launch, and grow your podcast today. Just check out The Podcast Starter Kit by clicking the link and downloading your free ebook in the show notes below. This episode is brought to you by patreon.com/schoolsovernowwhat. For as low as $5, you can help us reach more people, tour schools, and even impact communities. You also get exclusive content that nobody else can see and be able to go possibly one-on-one with some of our most amazing guests. Visit patreon.com/schoolsovernowwhat and become a Patreon today. All right, let's get into the reason you click that button. You see the title. It's so important, fam. You got to start with your energy. And I'm so excited to announce like this next guest, because not only is he a New York Times bestselling author, this conversation is absolutely insane. He's the CEO of Arctic Call Movement. He's a 10-figure entrepreneur, the one and only Ryan Blair. And here's the thing, fam. After doing this interview, I met Ryan Blair at his home in LA in Hollywood Hills, and he matched the same energy he gives you right now in this interview. And in this interview, you're going to learn not only how to shift your energy, you're going to learn the importance of a mentor, things you need to stop doing, overcoming false beliefs, how to create discipline in your life, and most importantly, how to win your day, and so much more. But enough of that. I want you to grab your pencil, grab your paper, however you take notes, because I promise you, you are going to fill the page with this episode. Episode 185 with the Ryan Blair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. Listen, I'm excited for this one because you never know when you're about to have a conversation and you're going to walk away from it being just a whole lot smarter. Well, this is going to be one of those conversations, and I am sitting with none other than New York Times bestselling author, the man himself, Ryan Blair, in the building. What's going on, bro?
How you doing, my brother? Thank you for having me.
Listen, man, I'm excited to kind of bring you here on the show because, you know, we were talking about it, you know, briefly before we hopped on. I know you mentor people like Gerard Adams. You've done so many different things. We'll get into like the coaching, the accountability, and the mastery. But somebody right now, like this could be their first time ever listening or ever checking you out on our platform. They want to know more about you. Could you take us back to like the young Ryan growing up?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting journey that I've been on. I started my life in the middle class. My dad was an engineer. My mom was a homemaker. And my dad got addicted to drugs. And he disappeared when I was 13 years old. I would never see him again. And we went from the middle class to poor. We lived in, you know, abject poverty. My mom was barely, you know, struggling to take care of myself and my siblings. She was making a little bit over minimum wage and living a paycheck by paycheck. And, you know, she really had a difficulty with alcohol. So I had an alcoholic mother, and I love her. She's no longer with me, and a drug-addicted father. And I then turned to the streets, and I was in and out of gangs, in and out of juvenile hall a number of times, and, you know, got arrested a number of times and, you know, was just heading nowhere quick. And then at the age of 17 years old, my mom found me a mentor, and his name was Robert Hunt. He's no longer with us. And, you know, he took a liking toward me and believed in me and started teaching me what it's like to be wealthy. So by the time I was 17, I'd seen the middle, I'd seen poverty, and I'd seen wealthy. And I made a decision shortly after getting mentored by Robert Hunt that I would choose to be wealthy as opposed to live in the middle or live in poverty any longer.
Man, let's see. I like this, man, because I can already kind of tell where this is about to go. And it's one of those elevated conversations. You know, all right, it's about to be an elevated conversation. Let's break this down, though, right? The importance, right? You said from 13 to 17, but then your mom's like, listen, you know, we got to get you a mentor, right? Like, how important is it for somebody to establish, you know, hey, I need a mentor in my life?
Well, especially for those of us that didn't have fathers growing up, you know, we need as many role models as we can get our hands on. You know, our mothers, God bless them, they can't give us everything we need as men. And as women, too, if you don't have a father, you need a mentor. You need to find somebody who's going to bridge that gap. And so it's so important. Now, for those of us who do, or those of you, I should say, who have, you know, good functional parents, you might need a different type of mentor. Our parents aren't always able to meet our needs or help us figure out what we need to figure out in order for us to, you know, fulfill our purpose. So a mentor is crucial to that. And not only did I have my mentor at 17, but I'm blessed to have mentors to this day that, you know, I have in my life. I've had some of the very best of them in business and in coaching. And, you know, I've had basketball coaches as mentors. I've had, you know, business titan as mentors. I've had a ton of mentors in my life. And all of my success that I have, I stand on their shoulders with.
Man, listen, I want to keep diving into this, right? Because you also mentioned something here where you talked about, you know, you chose to be wealthy. I think that's a, you know, a amazing choice. But people are like saying right now, okay, how can I choose to be wealthy? I mean, I can tell, you know, guys, if you watch this on YouTube, I mean, Ryan's in shape, man. So break this down. When you say, okay, you chose to be wealthy, what exactly does that mean?
Well, for one, I knew what I didn't want. So I knew I didn't want to be poor. I knew that the middle class was a sham and it could be ripped away from you at any time. And in the middle class, you know, when I lived in the middle class, I witnessed my home get foreclosed on, my mom's car get repossessed, and I witnessed a lot of trouble over money. Even more trouble over money in the middle class than in poverty. In poverty, you didn't see people struggling so much to keep up with the Joneses. You know, they hustled. In the middle class, there was a lot of people that were complacent, and mediocrity seemed to be the method in the middle class. And so I saw both classes and I realized I didn't believe in the middle at all. I was like, this is no judgment, but I was like, if you're making $100,000 a year, you're one step away from poverty. You're making living paycheck to paycheck. You're one step away from being back on the streets. And I knew that I would never live, in a one bedroom shack again. I knew that I would never live on the streets again. So I had nothing to lose. I had this mindset that all of the life experience that I had, witnessed, it was going to lead me to, a greater destination. And I utilized that mindset. And so when I say I chose to be wealthy, I looked at the people that were wealthy. I reversed engineered them. I analyzed them. I realized they were no smarter than me. I'm physically fit, an active person. So they couldn't win me in a fight. They couldn't beat me in a basketball game. Like there was no reason why these wealthy people had a whole different lifestyle than I had. And so to me, I just sized them up and said, I'm going after the game you're playing in.
Oh man, my man said he sized them up. Listen, this is clutch. All right, so listen. So you're 17, you get this mentor, right? You say, okay, I choose to be wealthy. As you're doing that, I'm pretty sure there were some things that you were learning that you had to stop doing. I think the problem is so many people get into situations in life and they keep doing old things. What were some of the things that you had to stop doing to get into this new mindset?
Yeah, well, number one, you have to stop thinking the way, we think the way we are taught to think. We are programmed by the environment, by the culture, by our parents, by the music we listen to, by the news media, by Facebook. We're programmed. We are literally supercomputers that have been, programmed and configured incorrectly. And some of that is intentional. Society does want you to be a consumer. Society wants you to compare yourself to others. There's plenty of reasons why society wants you to get a job and work 40 years and live paycheck to paycheck. There's plenty of forces at work that want you to be unhappy living paycheck to paycheck. And so you have to break that code and you have to break that programming and you have to create new programming. And the first thing that I recommend you do is start looking at the false beliefs that you have. So my first mentor, Robert Hunt, told me, I told him one day, well, it takes money to make money. And he says, that's false. It takes this to make money. It takes creativity to make money. It takes ingenuity to make money. And then he showed me, he's like, I buy houses and I use the bank's money, not my money. And so he showed me how in his business of real estate, he wasn't actually using his own money hardly ever to make money. Mm. He was using his creativity, his salesmanship, his ingenuity, and his mastery of the sport that he was in real estate. So there's a lot of false beliefs that we have. There's a lot of false narratives that we play, false stories that we tell ourselves. And we have to break from those stories and break from those beliefs. And then that's kind of the deconstruction phase. First, we got to tear down the old house. Then we got to build a new house. And from that new house, we're going to build some new beliefs and some new ideas and visions for ourselves. And then from there, we have to integrate those beliefs, ideas, and visions for ourselves into the new identity that we're creating. And know this, if right now your identity is that of a poor person, you can change your identity to become that of a rich person by doing the work that I just described.
Man, listen, the three people I've ever interviewed, and I'm like, damn, I can't wait for this to be over so I can go back and rewatch it.
I appreciate that.
You're one of those people, you put up a post that I paid attention to, and I think my audience deserves the breakdown of this. The importance of daily habits, right? Like so many people, think, okay, what should I be doing? So when you think of the word daily habits, like what is something you can give our audience right now that they should implement and put into their routine?
Yeah, well, I didn't always my entire career have the most consistent routine. I do now. I have to tell you that discipline was one of the hardest things for me to figure out because I was never disciplined, but I was very competitive. So I showed up to compete. I'd work out because I wanted to compete and I'd prepare because I wanted to compete, but I never understood discipline until I learned that discipline is just the accumulation of small restrictions in your life. So restricting the TV a little bit creates more discipline. Restricting going out creates more discipline. Restricting alcohol, restricting weed, restricting, substances that are gonna reduce your ability and your capacity to learn and to grow and to serve. And so the more that we do those restrictions, the greater discipline that we're able to create. And what discipline gives us is that willpower, that ability to be able to look at something and say, I'm going to will my way to the top of the mountain. So my morning routine is very disciplined now, but I built to that discipline by doing these micro challenges. I would challenge myself to restrict caffeine or challenge myself to restrict staying up late so I could wake up early. So that said, I wake up early. So I gave you the method for how to get to a routine that you can stick to and be consistent. And that is just accumulating small little micro challenges that lead to a point where those little changes create more changes, create more changes. And then eventually you have changed yourself into perhaps a morning person who wakes up with discipline and who follows a routine. Now, my routine is simple. I wake up in the morning. First thing I do is I drink a lot of water, you know, to cleanse my system and detox. And the next thing that I do, which, you know, it's kind of, it's funny, I laugh at it, is I jump into a saltwater bath and I just relax. I meditate, I chill out, I relax, I read a little bit. And that's the way I start my day every single morning, is just starting my day with an act of self-love, learning, growing, cleansing and detoxing myself. And then I do meditation. And by meditation, I just sit there and I close my eyes and I contemplate on the things that I need to let go of. Any negativity that I'm holding on to, anything I brought from the prior day, you know, any conflict or, you know, as a leader of, you know, of growing company, there's constantly things that have let me down or set me back that I got to let go of. And so I do that work first in the morning. I cleanse myself and I do so with the state of gratitude. I'm always thanking God and I'm always grateful for everything I do have, the air that I breathe, the sun that's rising or the rain that's falling. It doesn't matter what's going on that day. I'm starting it with gratitude. And then from there, I eat healthy and then I get into the gym. And by the time I start, I wake up between 4:30 and 5:30, depending on how much sleep I need that day. I don't set an alarm. And then I start my day after I've done all of those routines. So I've spent about 3 hours of working out, eating right, cleansing and detoxing and meditating and contemplating and learning and growing. By doing all of that with my first 3 hours of the day, I have already won the day. By the time I'm talking to you right now, this day has been won. You know, all I got to do is just continue on the momentum that I've already created. And with each step of the day that goes, you know, by, I'm able to gain more momentum and more momentum. And the last thing I'll tell you is during the day, I look for opportunities to turn the negative into positive. You know, when I'm greeted with something negative, like say something happens that I didn't anticipate, or, you know, a project doesn't launch the way I wanted it to, or, you know, a team member doesn't perform the way I want him to, I look for an opportunity to turn that negative into positive. And by doing that, I'm actually growing and strengthening each and every single day. Much like when you tear a muscle, if you heal it correctly, it grows back stronger. All day long, I'm building muscle.
Hey guys, so let me take a guess. You're enjoying the show. And if that's right, please make sure that you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast right now and tag me at SeanRAnthony_. I promise you this is going to help in amazing ways. And while you're at it, hit the 5-star rating and subscribe. With that being said, guys, let's get back to the show.
Man, listen, man, I'm over here writing stuff down. Listen, as I'm switching, like, okay, let me write this down. First 3 hours of the day. Win the first 3 hours of the day, you win the day. And then also too, well, I like that. I want to jump back here. You said, okay, even if you want the discipline to limit caffeine, right? And also you talked about putting, you know, those restrictors, those barriers to stop you from doing some things. I know a lot of people are drinking caffeine, they're drinking coffee. Like Ryan, like, is there something else that we could be drinking to make us feel like we got energy?
Well, I used to be an addict of caffeine. You know, I had lots of self-medication issues, and caffeine was one of the things I self-medicated with all day long. So I have no judgment, you know, by any means. I've just run enough experiments on myself and now with the community and the people that I've mentored that, you know, I understand a lot more about these substances. You know, caffeine gives you short-term energy, and it doesn't give you long-term. It actually drains more energy than it creates. So it's like it gives you a little burst of light, but you pay a price for the little burst of light. And what restriction teaches you how to do is how to deny the short-term light for the long-term light. So by not drinking caffeine, I know my body better. Now, there are things that you can have, like You can utilize vitamin B12 supplementation. That will help boost your energy. You can, get active and exercise. I have a speed bag in my gym in my house, and you know, I go down there and shift my energy around with that. You know, you can jump into a cold bath. I know that that's not exciting to a lot of people, but you know, if you have a cold plunge or cold water or a cold shower, that'll boost your energy tenfold what caffeine does. That's what Tony Robbins, one of my mentors, does, is he jumps in a cold plunge. And then there's other nutrients that you can put in your body, like, you know, eat a bunch of oranges or drink orange juice or, you know, drink some sort of a juice that's going to give you energy, or, you know, a green juice for that matter. See, one of the things that I share with people that I mentor is you really have, you know, when people are all focused on money, the reason why they don't have money is because they don't manage their time correctly. And the reason why they don't manage their time correctly is because they don't manage their energy correctly. So if you manage your energy correctly, you'll manage your time correctly. And if you manage your time correctly, you will get money. And so when people are focused on money, they don't realize that start with the energy. And so I treat myself like a professional athlete. I put the type of energy into my workouts and energy into, you know, my personal health the same as a professional athlete would, because I need to have the highest, purest, highest vibrational energy I can possibly bring to the table for the work that I do. And when I do that, the money follows.
Oh man, we're talking energy, right? It's not necessarily right, hey, you're running out of money, you can't get money. They're not doing their time correctly. They're not utilizing the time correctly. They're running off the wrong type of energy. So I appreciate you for giving us that. You also mentioned, hey, look, I can turn the negative into the positive. So even after I don't want a day, negative into positive. I think there's some type of mind thinking things that you have to do that, right? It is, for someone right now that's struggling, that's constantly being hit with negativity throughout their day, what is a way to look at it in a different perspective?
All right, I'm gonna go old school on you. You got to listen to Notorious B.I.G. Juicy. And he says, "You're damn right I like the life I live because I went from negative to positive." When I heard that growing up, and this was my anthem growing up, the way I was raised. When I heard that song growing up, I was like, I went from negative to positive. And my mind just got simply focused on how do I go from negative to positive. Now, I have to tell you, the more negativity that you have, the more light you can create. That negativity is fuel for positivity. And so the reason why I have a bright light right now and, you know, I'm energetic and excited and positive is because I have transmuted the lead, the negativity, into gold, positivity. So every time you take something that happened to you that was negative, say somebody cuts you off, and you change your default reaction to that to one of positivity. Let's say your default reaction would be to get angry, cut them back off. You say, you know what? They got to be someplace quicker than me. God bless them. I hope they get there. Maybe they've got, you know, something on their heart that they need to, you know, tend to. I've been there. Let them pass me. Every time you change your default reaction to a more compassionate reaction, a more empathetic reaction, and a more positive reaction, you literally change the negative into positive. So as your day comes at you, look for opportunities. And when you are challenged, when you have this mindset going on long enough and you get challenged, you will start to look at the challenges and be like, this is excellent, because this challenge is going to create light. I'm going to tackle this challenge. I'm going to address it. I'm going to confront it. I'm going to get stronger and better from it. And most importantly, I'm going to learn the lesson of it. If you can learn the lesson from the things that are happening to you in your life, and you learn what the message was of the problem or the challenge or the setback or the failure or the loss, if you learn that message, you will transmute negative into positive. So anytime something happens that's negative, let's say I get triggered, I get upset, you know, I fall back, I fall off my discipline, which each and every one of us does that all the time. I just realize, okay, what was the lesson that I need to learn there? And then once I learn that lesson, I've taken that negative. I should have no shame in it. I should, in fact, embrace it as and own it as this is something that is a part of me now, because I have that in my character, and I've removed that by transmuting that, you know, from negative into positive, by changing my reaction to a response, or even further, by no longer reacting to these things because I'm now proactive about these things.
Man, listen, I think one of the most, what I like so much about what you said is like have that empathy, right? Change your mindset. Okay, maybe this person needs to get in front of me. But I also think like the way social media is now, and the way the world is today, I think there's a lot of people listening to this or watching us on YouTube that are in this comparison game, right? They see someone doing what they want to be doing. They haven't gotten there yet. They see somebody that started or created a business knowing that deep inside they should be in that business as well. For that person that's struggling with the comparison, what would be your advice for them?
Every one of us has our own journey. And, you know, your soul, you know, has got its own journey. You picked your parents. You've gone through the hardships, the ups, the downs, you know, all of that for a reason. And, you know, some of us need to accumulate a certain amount of lessons before our greatness shines. That was my case. Like, I had to accumulate, and I still have to accumulate a number of lessons until our greatness shines. And so you can't really compare, because the person that you're looking at might have got their lessons earlier, or they might have got their lessons, you know, more consistently. And so now they're reaping the harvest of those lessons. So you just got to get the lessons in. You got to get the work in. And so we don't want to compare ourselves to others, because, you know, you have no idea what they had to go through to get to where they're at. You know, you're comparing apples and oranges. Each and every single one of us has our own journey, our own lessons that we have to learn, our own chemistry, our own DNA, our own unique fingerprints. Like, we are all unique. So we don't want to compare. But it is okay to look at standards and say to yourself, okay, I want to look at this individual, look at what they're doing, look at what they're creating, and then hold myself to a higher standard. But we should not compare, because you have to learn the lessons. To be a millionaire, it's just simply learning a certain amount of lessons and solving a certain amount of problems. It's that simple.
Man, listen, I like this, man, because I think you just said something I've never heard before, right? Like, forget the comparison of saying, oh, I want to be like them. Look at the standards. Look at how they got to where they were today. I think that, and look at those standards as almost like a guideline. Huge, huge gem you're dropping there.
Look for the character trait in the person that you want to emulate. If the person is, you know, selling out stadiums, go, okay, what is it about their artistry or their work ethic? You know, you see Kevin Hart selling out stadiums, like, okay, I'm not Kevin Hart. I can't compare myself to Kevin, but there is something that I can learn from him. And so watch his documentaries, read his books, and try to grab a characteristic of his that you can make one of yours. And once you do that, you will build a character stack and an identity stack of characteristics that are going to make you a very successful person.
Oh, man, listen, I'm glad you got that out there, right? Like, because that's a huge, huge key, right? It's looking for those characteristics, like studying that artistry, and like looking at documentaries. All those things are so important. You know, like, you're one of those fascinating people that I think there's so many different scopes of you, right? Like, we know you're the CEO of AltaCall Movement, which we'll get into in just a second. But one of the most fascinating things I found out about you is that your love of being a father. You know, I'm a dad. You know, I have, you know, three beautiful kids. And I think so many times people struggle being just dads. Let's just call it what it is. Like, what has been like the biggest lesson for you that now that you're a father, like, what's been one of those biggest lessons that you can share with us?
Number one is I just had this beautiful lesson this morning. You have to forgive each other quickly, and you have to teach forgiveness and give forgiveness quickly. I see so many parents punishing their kids, you know, holding grudges against them, being mad at them, teaching their children that when they do something wrong, to withhold love. And we shouldn't withhold love from our children. We should give love to our children. We should forgive our children as quickly as possible and teach them how to forgive us too. Because we don't always get it right. This morning, my son asked me to wake him up at 6:20 a.m. Now, I, as a dad, I wanted him to sleep in. You know, I wanted him to get as much sleep as possible.
Yeah.
So I woke him up at 7 a.m. He was mad at me this morning. He was like, Dad, I told you I wanted to be woken up at 6:20. And I was like, you're going to have to forgive me on this. You know, I will do better next time. You know, the default reaction would have been like, oh, you know, wake up on your own, set your own alarm or whatever. But no, he was mad at me. I was willing to bear that burden and help him understand that, help him. He's 12 years old, help him understand his emotions. And, you know, and frankly, I want him to be an early riser. And so if my role in that is to help him be an early riser, then, you know, I'll do my job better next time. But, you know, we had to have a good discussion, and he was mad. You know, he's 12 years old. He's emotional and walking around pouting and stuff. And I was like, hey, we got to forgive each other quicker. I forgive you quickly. You got to forgive me quickly. So most important thing I could tell you is forgive quickly and seek forgiveness from your children and ask your children, say, hey, is there anything that I've done that's on your mind or anything that you're holding on to, anything that bothers you? Or, you know, I've had this conversation with my son a number of times, and he's brought up some stuff that, you know, I missed. You know, I didn't show up when I said I would, or I let him down a little bit when I did this. And none of us are perfect. And so when he told me that, I was like, okay, I'll get better and I'll do better as a father. And once you do that and you tell your children, like, I'm committed to growing, then they see an example of growth and they will commit to growing too. I'm committed to forgiving. They will commit to forgiving too. And eventually, not only will you change the relationship between you and your child, but you will change generations to come, because this wisdom will be imparted from your children to their children and so forth.
Man, this is good. Like, listen, I wish we had this conversation last week, because we just came back from a vacation. We took all three of the kids, and I promise you, if I had heard you tell me forgive quickly, that might have been a better trip. So I appreciate that, the transparency and the honesty behind it. When you look at like what you're creating, right, and you look at, you know, you're the CEO of Altar Call Movement. Like, what, like, when I say those things, and when you think of Altar Call Movement and where you see it is right now and where you see it going, right? Like what is your vision?
Well, you know, I've been blessed to receive, and this is a spiritual thing. You know, when my mother passed away 4 years ago yesterday, I went through a rock bottom moment. I was devastated. I was in grief. Shortly after that, I would get into a custody battle because, you know, I was in rage and I was angry all the time. So I was lashing out. I would lose friends. I would lose a ton of money. I would get, you know, sued by a bunch of different people. So I went through a lot of turmoil 4 years ago. And I decided that I was going to dedicate my life to God and do everything that I could to give back and to teach people whatever I possibly can. I turned over my house to God, my assets to God, my body to God, my mind to God, my experience to God, everything I possibly could. And it took me it took me 2 years of learning to heal myself. I then applied that to my son and healed him and healed my relationship with him and with his mother. I then started healing and helping, mentoring others. And, you know, from there I started getting momentum, and now I have movement on my hands. And I've helped heal many thousands of people. And I say helped because they have to actually do the work. I just tell them the frameworks and the shortcuts and, you know, teach them the methods and the practices that accelerate the growth, but they've got to actually do the growth. And so now I have a movement that's just 2 years old. I started it 2 years ago, called Altar Call, where we literally help people alter their lives so they can answer their calling and live a life filled with purpose. And I have the pleasure to work with entrepreneurs and leaders that are, you know, that are growing, and, you know, people are accelerating throughout our community. And now I basically grow and help others grow too.
Man, it's powerful, man. I think it's important because it's something that we all think about. And here's the thing, like, you're saying, hey, look, I'm going to give you the framework, but in the day, it's up to you. Right. If you really want this transformation, this is what you do. So powerful. Love it, man. I want to ask you the question that we've asked everybody who has ever been on this platform. Like, if you were that person who just graduated college, or, you know, perhaps, you know, you didn't even graduate at all, you didn't get no degree, and you're asking yourself the question of the show, school's over, now what? What advice would Ryan Blair give?
Thank you. You know, it's funny. I dropped out of college myself. So I went to my professor my senior year in college, and I was in business school, and I'd gotten into a 4-year university. And that was a big trajectory for me. Like, my family had never been to a prominent university, and I went to him and I said, "Hey, I'm starting a business and it's taken off, and you know, I'm debating about whether or not I should drop out of school." And he told me, "Ryan, you'll be back here giving the keynote." So if school's out, now what? For me, I would start a business. I would start out as an entrepreneur. You know, you could become a doctor, or you could become a lawyer, or you could become the person that writes the check to the doctor and the lawyer. Mm. It's up to you. Being a doctor or a lawyer is noble, but being the entrepreneur that employs the doctor and employs the lawyer, you know, is a whole nother level. And so my advice is, you know, seek sovereignty, seek independence, seek to create a business that is going to solve a problem in our society. The greatest wealth that will ever be created is ahead of us. You know, we're hearing about Elon Musk being, you know, the richest man in the world. He just passed $300 billion in net worth. They're going to be trillionaires shortly. And those trillionaires are going to be trillionaires because they have solved big problems that the world needs. We know the environment is failing. We know there are social justice issues. We know there are all kinds of problems in our society. And that's what entrepreneurs do, is they solve problems. So my call to action for each and every single one of you, you know, school's over, now what? Become an entrepreneur. It is the best profession you could ever get involved in.
Man, I'm glad I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm glad and grateful you have been on this podcast. Listen, man, you crushed it. I've interviewed a lot of people, man, from Ed Mylett to Seth Godin to Grammy Award winners. And listen, I'm going on record saying this has been one of the most funnest, interesting, best interviews that I've done, man. I'm going to go back and listen to it. I know the audience is going to love it. They're going to eat it up. And people want to know more about you. They want to, where can they find you? Just give us all your social media and where we can stay updated.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm Real Ryan Blair on Instagram. If you DM me, you know, I'll message you back. I love to create conversations and dive in and mentor you. And, you know, that's it. Just follow me at Real Ryan Blair on Instagram. Or you can go to altercall.com. That's altercall.com.
Ryan, I appreciate you, man. And for those of you that have been listening, always remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it. Yo, what you think? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I want to know what you learned. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast on your phone right now? Upload to your Instagram stories, tag me at SeanRAnthony_, and then let me know in that Instagram story what is one thing that you learned. I love hearing from you, my listeners, thought leaders, former or current students all around the world. Let me know. And while you're doing this, go inside the podcast app, subscribe, leave a 5-star review and a 5-star rating. Again, this helps us reach more people. And if you want to be a part of this mission, helping us change the world one person at a time, it makes a massive difference by you leaving a review. Thanks so much. I'll see you next week. And remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it.